I'd like to start here in the book of Psalms, beginning on verse 33, or chapter 33, excuse me. Begin with verse 11 here. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And, you know, this is really pretty nice, that the thoughts of his heart to all generations. He doesn't change his ideas or thoughts whatsoever. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we can know, we can see how the Nephites, you know, when they were faithful to the Lord, how he blessed them in the house of Israel, how he protected and watched over them until they turned their back upon him. It seemed like a merry-go-round for a while. The people are faithful to the Lord, and then the adversary gets the upper hand and turns their heart away, and they decide they really not interested in the Lord anymore. They want what they want and not what the Lord wants. And, you know, it's that way in the world today. The people want what they want, and the Lord doesn't get ahead of all he wants, but he will have the last word, that is for sure. And the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And so the Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. And truly he does. He wants them to follow him and obey him. That's all he really wants us to do, is to keep his commandments and to follow him and to do his will. As he says, you know, my yoke is not hard. It's easy to bear. Only we have to have the desires in our hearts to follow him. And we have a little problem there because the adversary is always busy. He wants to lead you, my brothers and sisters, astray. That's what he wants. He wants to lead you in the way of the world like he has so many are going. Just look at the turmoil that's going right now. He's happy when he's got the most contention going in the world. I'd like to go back over here to the book of Hebrews and read a verse here. In the 13th chapter, in the 8th verse of the 13th chapter of Hebrews, says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, that's really quite nice that our Lord and Savior's like that. I don't have to wake up tomorrow and learn another doctrine. The people of the world, they do. They got more doctrine they got to learn. But that doctrine's not from the Lord their Savior. As it says here, you know, he's the same always. It says in James, there's no shadow of changing with the Lord. He is constant. He would have all of his of the people of the world to come to him and to give him that honor and glory that is worthy to give to our Savior. There's competition out there. And there's a road map put out there. But, you know, sometimes we can't read that road map. We don't give it any thought. We look at it and we take a wrong turn someplace and we end up in the wrong place. If he was going from here up into northern Idaho, you'd have to get you a map and see where you, what roads you wanted to go, and go on it, and what turns you'd have to take, and all of that. Well, this is the way our Bible is. It's got a roadmap there to lead us to Christ, and what he has given, not what man has given. As it says here, you know, he is the same forever. There's no shadow of turning with the Lord. What he gave to the Israelites the time that he walked the earth, and to the Nephites, all of them, he has given the same to us. It's the same doctrine. It hasn't altered. As he says, his commandments are easy to keep. But we have a contender in there that wants to blind our eyes so that we don't always see the way that we go, or that. We get, sometimes we get dark glasses on, so we don't see very well. Sometimes we don't read very well that roadmap that he has put out there for us to be guided to. I would like to read to you out of the Book of Mormon here on page 157. I'd start with verse 55 on page 157. On verse 55 says, "Know ye not that there are more nations than one? Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men, and that I remember they which are upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath? And I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth." This here is something that, you know, today it's really not understood in that respect, that the Lord has his people keep those records. As it says there in 3 Nephi, you know, the Nephites here is part of the house of Israel. And he had them write this record, what I'm quoting out of, as well as we have the Bible as a record here as well. Someday there'll be some more records that will go with them, that of the other lost tribes of Israel. But for now, we have these two books, which I think is very fortunate. It gives us a more perfect way of instructions and in the way that we should go. On verse 58 says, "Wherefore murmur ye, because that you shall receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is witness unto you that I am God, and that I remember one nation like unto another?" And truly he does. He remembers all of mankind. He'll bless them all. All they have to do is follow him and keep his commandments. He loves those that will obey his will. And those that will not, we know from the scriptures that hard times comes upon them sooner or later. Things just don't always prosper for them as they should. And so, as it says, he remembers one nation like unto another. "Wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another." Now, that's a rather strange thing to a lot of people, that he speaks the same word to the people of the world. The same doctrine, as I said here in Hebrews, you know, he's an unchangeable God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't have to wake up tomorrow morning and got to learn some more doctrine. You just don't have to there. Within these two books, it's given as a roadmap for our guidance and our welfare. You know, Nephi had to, when they'd gone down in the wilderness, you know, they had to go back up, Nephi and his brothers, to get those brass plates, because, you know, they could not remember all the commandments of God to follow them. So they had to go back and get those records so that they could teach their children. And it's just like us today. You can look and see what the Native Americans have in their history concerning their origin, and every one of them seems to have just a little bit different version, and they sure don't have the doctrine of Christ. And so, as it says here, he remembers the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. And true it is, the Bible and Book of Mormon do happen to teach the same thing, contrary to what some people will try and tell you. But you know, you got to remember, the adversary wants to blindside everybody, including us, that we'd turn away from this book and not follow him anymore. And I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to my own pleasure. And true, he does. He speaks to all the nations, as I said. The others have also recorded his words, and they will teach the same as what we find in these two books. Just like he gave to the house of Israel right after he walked America, the land of Palestine there, he gave them the gospel. He set up the church there at that time. He gave it a name. Yes, he gave it a name. You know, to the world, that's kind of a mystery. You've got every imaginable name here in Grand Junction you can think of for the churches. The last book I read, there was over 20,000 different churches in the world today. But I was talking with another fellow, and he says, no, it's right at 30,000 different churches in the world today. They all got a different doctrine. They got all got a different name. They got all different precepts, contrary to what the Lord has given here in these two books. It's given in the Bible very clearly, the name that he gave to his church there. It's given here in this book what name that he gave to the people for the call their church, or even in the old part of the Testament here in the Book of Mormon. He refers to it, and it's called the Church of Christ. It's not called the Presbyterian Church or Assembly of God or the Laughing Jehovah or whatever. It's called Church of Christ. It's given in both books. But you know, the adversary wants to blindside everybody. And, you know, we are brought up not fully comprehending that the Lord is an unchangeable God. And so these different names of these different churches are out there, and they are wrong. We're talking about churches. We are not talking about individuals. In Romans, the 16th chapter, the 16th verse, it gives the name of what the church was called when Jesus walked in Palestine there 2,000 years ago. He gives the name, and we should understand who it was that died upon the cross for us. It wasn't Napoleon that died on the cross for my sins. Or some other great man, Caesar or whoever. It was only one person that died upon the cross for my sins and your sins, and that was Christ. And so, let me read here in the 16th verse. This is Paul's writings here, and he says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. See, there's the name that the Lord gave to the people that they were to call the church at that time. Granted, we have some other denominations in the world today called by that name, but if they don't teach his doctrine, they're not his church. It makes it very clear. They must teach his doctrine to be his church. And part of that, they must have that authority as well. Now, I would just ask any of you, you think that you can have that authority in that, just go on downtown and put on a police uniform and go out there and try to direct traffic and see what happens, who comes along and wants to arrest you and will arrest you for impersonating a police officer when you're not. You know, this is technically what we got here in the world today. We've got people impersonating the servants of the Lord when they really are not called at all. They have taken that authority to themselves, and it has not come from the Lord. So let me back up here into the Book of Mormon here. On page 672, they both teach the same, and thank goodness we have an added witness here. And as the scripture says in the Bible, it makes it very clear where two or more witnesses are, it is the truth. And so they were called there at Jerusalem, Church of Christ. They're called here on this land, Church of Christ as well. That's the name that we were commanded in the early days of the church to call a church today. And we have our cousins in the Restoration that have, for one reason or another, taken upon them other names than the Church of Christ. I talked with one out of the Mormon Church, and I told him he didn't have the name right, Church of Christ. And he says, oh, we got it in our name, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I says, well, now, just a minute. I says, if you tell a fella you're talking to go down here to the Church of Christ, and your church is down there another few blocks away, and you tell him to go to the Church of Christ, he says, where's he going to go to? Is he going to go to your church? He says, no. And so he sees that they don't have the right name, but you know, it's like the people of the world today. They do not want to accept what their own personal thoughts are in this walk of life. Now, I'd like to read here on page 672, verse 13. In verse 13, and they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. Now, as I said, it's called that in the Old Testament of this Book of Mormon, just like it is in the New Testament. And it come to pass, now I'm going to read a few verses here. And it come to pass that as the disciples of Jesus were journeying and preaching the things which they had both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus, it come to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again shewed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, what will ye that I shall give unto you? And they saith unto him, Lord, we will that thou wouldest tell us the name whereby we shall call this church, for there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. There they had been instructed very well what to call it. But you know, the adversary was busy, like he is today. He was busy back then, and he was putting it in the thoughts of the people's minds. Well, we ought to call this John the Baptist Church, or the Moroni's Church, or some other name. You know, that's what he was putting in their hearts. And so there was this disputation going among them, and they was telling them, and so they wanted a clarification on it. And the Lord come, and he told them, I'll read it to you. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the scriptures which said, you must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name, for by this name shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endure to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. See, you're to take upon his name, come into his kingdom, his church, not some other church, his church. Therefore, whatsoever you shall do it in my name. Therefore, you shall call the church in my name, and you shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. And how be it my church, save it be called in my name. And true it is. It's just as true today as it was back here and at this time when they were starting the church again after the crucifixion of Christ and the great destruction. It's always been called Church of Christ. The Lord's church has been. I know there's a great proliferation of churches. When the Church of Christ was set up in 1829 and 30, you know how many churches were in the world at that time? There were just 36 churches. Now we've got over 30,000. You know why they're out there? Well, that's to confuse the people. So they will not know where they need to go. You know, we're all trying to get to heaven. We want to take a shortcut in the process, but we want to go to heaven the same as everybody else. So it's all right if you go to this church or that church. But that's contrary to the roadmap that the Lord has set here in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon. He has laid it out. What it should be called and what the organization of it should be or will be for him. House of Israel, you know, got into trouble. The adversary, I say, he doesn't miss a beat. He's working everywhere he can to stir up contention and strife. He even does it within this church, stirring up contention and strife among the people right here, and he wants to lead us all away from our Lord and Savior. He's happy, as I said, he's happy when contention and everybody's arguing and fighting about what this teaching should be or what that doctrine should be or what name we should use. But he makes it here clear that we should call the name Church of Christ. We got problems or whatever, that we're commanded to pray unto the Father in his name. And as it says, if we do that, he will hear our prayer and will help us with those things. But let me read here some more here on verse 19. Therefore, whatsoever you shall do it in my name. Therefore, you shall call the church in my name, and you shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. Howbeit my church, save it be called in my name. You know, that's like somebody is downtown and somebody's wife has wandered off someplace, and you ask somebody, well, you know where my wife is at? And, well, what name has she got? Well, you know, you give her a dozen different names. You know, if the husband, wife doesn't take the name of the husband, sometimes they won't know who to look to. And, you know, that's just the way it is with the Lord's church. We are to take upon him his name, as we are commanded to do. And when we take another name, then we are no longer his. For if a church be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. See, this is what it is. Just think of all the churches we got here in the valley. They've got so many different names, I don't even begin to know what all the names they really do have. But as it says, if they are called in the name of a man, then it is the church of a man. And truly it is. It's not God's church. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church. If it so be that they are built upon my gospel. That we've got to have his teachings. We've got to have that authority that he has always given to his people, his ministers, to teach. Verily I say unto you that you are built upon my gospel. Therefore you shall call whatsoever thing you do call in my name. Therefore if you call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will heal you. But if it's not in the Lord's name, in the name of Christ, then the Father's got deaf ears. And you know, everybody here should know how that goes. When you got raising children, you got some of them that's not doing too good. They cry to you, Mommy or Papa, can I have this here or that? You know, you don't hear them. You won't give them any attention. You won't allow them to have that cookie or go for a ride or whatever. You don't hear them. And that's the way the Lord is here. He doesn't hear you. And so when you pray, you'll not have those. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father shew forth his own works in it. But if it be not built upon my gospel, and is built upon the works of men, or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have their joy in their works for a season, and true, that is true. For a short little season they have their joy, but it comes to naught. And by the end cometh, and they are hewed down and cast in the fire, from whence there is no return. Just think how many followed Christ in the days of Noah. How many of them got on that boat with Noah? How many people were there? Millions of people. But, you know, they didn't hear. Because of Noah's righteousness, the Lord had him build that ship, and then the floods come. And so it is his church when it is called his name, and we obey his will and have his gospel. Now, I want to read here out of Corinthians. They two of them, these two books do go together. This will be in the 12th chapter of Corinthians here, and what he says here. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. And true it is, you know what it says there. They set first in the church, first apostles. Well, if we just have a pastor or a reverend at the head of the church and that's it, and he decides that, well, some of you people here are pretty faithful and coming, I'll make you a deacon or whatever, you can be helpers. This is all done by the power of man and not of the Lord. They don't have apostles at the head of their church. There is a church or two of the restoration other than us that does have some 12 at the head of the church. But our cousins, the big ones, they've got one man at the head of their church with some helpers there. And they don't follow the pattern that the Lord has given. They don't follow the roadmap that the Lord has laid out here, you know. Because they don't follow that roadmap, they end up out in who knows where, out in some desert place. They end up thirsty and hungry, and the elements of the world beats upon them, and they don't prosper because they do not follow the roadmap that the Lord has given. And why don't they follow it? Well, it's because of the adversary. The teachings of the world, you know, it's just like first apostles, you know. They teach in the Protestant world and in Catholic Church that that was given for them of old only. And after they died out and Christ and all of that, we have just the Bible for our guide. But, you know, they don't follow that guide even that is written here at all. They don't have the Holy Spirit to guide them and to direct them. You know, it says in Acts there, in first chapter there, you know, Peter's telling them to be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They only receive it by baptism. Doesn't mean the Spirit can't urge them in the good way or not, but the gift of the Holy Spirit is only given to those that come into His church and that are baptized as they should be. Now, I'd like to go over here on page 654. As I said, they both teach the same here. And so they had 12 at the head of the church there at Jerusalem to help guide us. You know, when Judas passed away, who took his place? Well, you know, Matthias was the one that was chosen. It's a continual organization of the Lord's church. You know, the 12 is to be continue all down through time, except if they go into apostasy. And true, it did go into apostasy later, just like the church here on this land went into apostasy as well. But here, Christ is here after his crucifixion, and he talks to the people, and he calls 12 to the head of the church. He didn't call a first presbytery. Even in our day, you know, there wasn't to be a first presbytery, but the adversary works upon people, and so there began to be a first presbytery when there should not have been. As I say, he don't miss a beat, and he works upon the hearts of people, and they glorify themselves, you know, when they become first presbytery. Man, you know, I'm great. I'm ahead of everybody else. But, you know, the Lord told the 12 there at Jerusalem, they got to arguing among themselves, the 12, who was going to be the greatest among them. And Jesus said, well, what was you talking about in the way? And, you know, they kind of didn't want to tell Jesus. And they finally did and says, well, want to know who is going to be the greatest. And then Jesus told them that wasn't to be, that a little child he called. And he says, you must be humbled like this little child. They are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven because they are pure. And in their ways, they're not prideful. And that's what we got to strip ourselves of, is that pride within our hearts, which keeps us from enjoying the Spirit of the Lord. But anyway, he sets up his church here on this land, just like he did at Jerusalem. There was no first presbytery at the head of the church, and or two or three counselors under him, and then the 12 under them. That was not so, and neither was it here. And on the page of 654, verse 4, these are the 12 that he called. And it come to pass that on the morrow, when the multitude was gathered together, behold, Nephi and his brother, whom he had raised from the dead, whose name was Timothy, and also his son, whose name was Jonas, and also Mattaniah, and Mattaniah, his brother, Kumeniha, and Jeremiah, Shammon, and Jonas, and Zedekiah, and Isaiah. Now these were the names of the disciples whom Jesus had chosen, just 12. They were to be there. And as others died off, others were called in their stead. And until, you know, we read the end of it, they were destroyed because the people turned their back upon the Lord. For some unknown reason, you know, everybody is given their free agency. And really, that's nice. You can accept or reject the Lord, whatever you want. He won't make you follow him. But Satan's just the other way around. He'll make you follow you. He'll make you miserable, sad. He'll make you hating everybody, and you want to destroy everything. That's what he is up to. I'd like to go back here into the book of Ephesians and read here a little bit. Fourth chapter. Fourth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this is what he has placed these different offices in the church for. The ministry, really, that their job is for perfecting of the saints, to teach them the way to go, teach them that which is right. And, you know, if we don't watch it, the adversary will whisper in our ear, as he does, whispers in everybody. He'll whisper in your ear and put false precepts and ideas in your heart that you'll think that is from the Lord, and you will not accept always the information that Christ puts forth, and you'll think it is from him when it is not. As it says there in verse 12 here, for the perfecting of the saints, that's what the ministry is for, is to bring them to Christ, to teach them that they must keep the commandments of God. As he has, must take upon you the name of Christ, you must come into his kingdom. As it says here, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith. Now I would ask you, are we in the unity of faith today? Absolutely not. With 30,000 denominations out there, all teaching another doctrine, we're not of the same unity at all. But this, as it says, this church was to continue as he set it up forever and ever until we all come to unity of faith. Well, that hasn't happened. But it will happen here ahead of us. It will take place and happen. And the knowledge of the Son of God, you know, that we haven't come to this day, really is the knowledge of the Son of God as we should, unto a perfect man. Well, what do you know? Tell us we should become perfect. And we can, if we humble ourselves and come into his favor and conditions as we should, we can come into that. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what the ministry is here for, to bring us to that stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. And see, that's what we are. We're like children. We all have our own doctrine. We have our own beliefs. We have our own ideas that do not always jive with what the Lord has given. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Isn't that what the people of the world is doing? That's what happened with the Nephites. That's what happened at Jerusalem there. You know, they were carried about by the doctrines of men. And we have to be careful of that today. They creep in pretty easy by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. And that's what the adversary wants to do, is deceive you, to lead you away from his church. Now, he has placed them. I'd like to go back to Corinthians here again. I'd like to go over verse 25 here in the 12th chapter of Corinthians. It says, here's what Paul writes, that there should be no schism in the body. Schism is a contention, is a doctrine that is contrary to the Lord. You know, they had much schism in the church at Jerusalem. It finally disappeared. The Nephites had one. In fact, we've had a schism in our church. You know, it has really created havocs in times past. And even today, there is still some schism within the church. The people want to follow their own ideas, their own doctrine in them thing. Now, I agree with you. They do it innocently, but they do it because they haven't humbled themselves as the Lord said they should. They haven't repented of their hardness of heart or the pride that is there that will keep them from humbling themselves. And then the Spirit of the Lord can direct and guide them. But that the members should have the same care one for another, and that's what they should. That there be that compassion, that help for one another that there should be. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And this is true. You see some people, they decide they don't want to come to church anymore. They want to go their own way. You know, you bleed in your heart. Really, you do. What can you do? How can you turn their thoughts and heart back to the Lord? Really, you can't. The Lord has to do it. They have to have a desire in their hearts to want to come to Him. And the people of the world, even, you can talk to them a blue streak about the gospel. It goes in one ear and right out the other ear because they have their own doctrine. They have their own thoughts and precepts given to them by the adversary to bring contention. All the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so that is. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and true it is, we are. And he has placed within this church those nine spiritual gifts. In fact, I'll read them here. I'll begin here on verse 4 of this chapter. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. No, that's to those that will come into his kingdom. That gift is given to them. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. One person may have half a dozen of those blessings, and then another person may only have two or three. It's if the desire of their hearts that they put in it to follow the Lord and to learn of him, as to how that goes. And Apostle Paul was blessed with a number of those gifts. And they are here yet today within the church. But you got to remember, the adversary is ever busy. And so those gifts are also, some of them are in other churches. They are counterfeit gifts is what they are. But the people as a whole don't know it. But we do know that, that we are to come to him and to follow what he has given to us. And if we follow him and are faithful unto the end, all will be well with us. And if we're not faithful unto the end, then all will not be well with us. Thank you.